Nicole.
You are listening to the News for the Soul Radio Network. Call in to live News for the Soul shows daily for intuitive coaching, readings, numerology, leading-edge health information, and much, much more with featured hosts from around the world. Go to newsforthesoul.com to join the next live show now. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
Next up on News for the Soul, the Awakened Healer with Carrie Nola. Let's bring her on to reintroduce herself, her show, and what's up for today. Carrie, welcome back.
Hey, Nicole. Thanks for having me.
Yay, good to hear your voice.
Yes, you too. It's been a wackadoo 24 hours, just a variety of different things unfolding. I'm really curious where the energy's at for you and our listeners today.
It is everywhere. Everywhere. That's why we need to be here.
Yes, and it's interesting because usually about 24, 48 hours before the show, I start tuning into what is asking to be shared. And it was really today about upgrading our abundance consciousness and our capacity for receiving. And so I'm excited to dive into what I call my abundance upgrade process today, because, you know, we're really allowed to have more than what we often give ourselves permission to receive. And I think, you know, now more than ever, we really need to be in tune with that. I'm looking forward to seeing what emerges. I actually took some notes, and now with a part of that wackadoo energy, I can't even find them here on my computer. Like, where did you go?
Yeah, that's how it works. But yeah, I'll tell you, the topic is huge. The floor is yours once you find your notes, because this is a big one going on for people right now.
Awesome. And do we have the capacity to tune in with some listeners today and take some questions and maybe pull some cards, depending on where we flow?
Well, I'll monitor the lines. The lines have also been wackadoo. Callers keep getting dropped. So I will refresh and monitor, and I'll also check the emails, and I'll be standing by.
Sounds good. Well, I will check in with you as we move along here, and we'll see. I know the last few times we weren't able to check in with listeners, and it's really important to me that we hear, you know, what's going on your end and how we can support you, because I think that keeps our content fresh and alive. All right. Well, let's all take a breath together. I know that I could definitely use one. So wherever you are, whenever you're listening to this now live or the recording, I just invite you to drop into your body by taking a nice deep inhale. Maybe the most air you've allowed yourself to sip in yet today, just taking in life force energy into your system, allowing it to find its way into every nook and cranny that needs that support and that rejuvenation. And then bring your awareness to your next exhale, allowing yourself to just release and let go of any toxic air, detoxing anything from your system that is ready to be released. I think we often forget the power of our breath and that it's a tool that is readily available for us. We don't have our crystals close by or our essential oils or, you know, other resources that we use for insight, for information, for grounding. You can always just come back to the breath. I know I had a mentor once who said our breath is our courier of consciousness, and I thought that was so sweet to remember, that we can journey with our consciousness through our breath. So as I said, today I wanted to talk with you about a concept I call scarcity proofing your practice. And that's not quite as magical as it sounds, although it definitely can be. This doesn't mean that you will never feel scarce or that you will always have, you know, all of this wealth. But what it means is that you can take charge of being in relationship with how you connect with the feeling of scarcity versus abundance. So my intention for today's conversation is really to empower you to embody an upgraded relationship with money so that you can trust yourself, receive more with ease and grace. And by the end of our chat today, I hope that you'll become reconnected to your birthright to give and receive in harmonious and balanced flow without punishing yourself for standing in your wealth consciousness. And that's an important piece of this puzzle, important piece of this conversation, without punishing yourself for standing in your wealth consciousness. And we're going to dive in. This is going to be a very interactive and participatory episode today. I would love for you to get your journal and to really dive deep with me into some exploration. I'm going to move you through some exercises and really show you how you can understand what is driving your relationship with money and what would keep you from having more of what you wanted. And that piece of punishing ourselves is really a significant piece of that puzzle. If we don't believe that we can be both a good person, a meaningful person, contribute to the world while also being abundant, making money, allowing ourselves to receive in exchange for our sacred service, we can really block ourselves from receiving. I may have said this on another show, but I think it's a beautiful representation of this. One time I sent an email out to my list of thousands of healers all over the world, and the title was, I Do It for the Money. I do it for the money. I want you to check in with yourself now. How willing have you been to admit that you do your healing work for the money, right? I feel like we're constantly saying, I don't do it for the money. I don't do it for the money. Well, what if we did let ourselves do it for the money? Now, it doesn't have to be solely for the money, but what if it was in part because we were allowing ourselves to receive? Now, the thing that surprised me about that email, and I'll be honest, I was scared to send this out. I do it for the money. Like, can I admit that? Can I acknowledge that to thousands of people, many of whom gave me money in exchange for my mentorship, my coaching, my products, my events, you know? And when I did, it was the most opened email that I've ever sent out in the history of emailing my community, and the most responded to email that I got. And the responses that I heard were things like, thank you for giving me permission to want to make money. You know, I wouldn't say this publicly, but I do it for the money too. So there was a lot of gratitude, a lot of coming out of the shadows and releasing the shame that they had about doing it for the money. So this is the kind of vibration we're going to be exploring and playing in today. And I want to really invite you to find yourself in this conversation and really call yourself out on the ways that your own belief systems and the stories you've been telling yourself about money are keeping you from actually having more of it. And then also, the more you have, the more you can give, and the more calm your own system will be in terms of being able to support and serve your clients. So I want to play a little bit. Two phrases that we hear a lot in our collective consciousness that tend to really shine a light on where we're at with money are, the first one is, money doesn't grow on, I'm sure you've heard this one before, what is that blank? Money doesn't grow on trees, right? We say that. And so what does that imply? That often implies that it's not accessible, it's not abundant, there's not enough of it. And the truth is, that's actually not true. Money is made of paper, and we get paper from trees. So it's actually a lie. It's an illusion. It's a distortion. It's a way that we can be controlled and manipulated out of relationship with the infinite abundance that is ours. So when we buy into this notion that money doesn't grow on trees, there's not enough of it, it's not around, it's not available, then start to believe that there's not enough, which puts our nervous system into complete contraction and lockdown mode, and we freeze. And now our channel's blocked, so we can't hear the abundant ideas. We can't receive the downloads about what we're meant to create and how we're meant to serve. And our system is just all locked and blocked up. And how about this other saying that I'm guessing you've heard of? Money is the root of all evil, right? Money is the root of all evil. And so if that's true and we have money, then we often associate ourselves with being evil or bad. The truth is that money is just a frequency. It's an energy. It's something that we made up to be able to exchange. You know, back in the day, we didn't use money. We bartered with services and gifts, and we shared with one another. But as money came online and people started to use it to abuse their power and to control and dominate others, we started putting it all in this category of evil, when actually it's really the user or the exchanger of the money that has to choose what vibration are they going to relate with money from. And I would invite you to imagine if more of us conscious, awake, present human beings had money and more of the wealth in our hands, what kinds of decisions would we be making, and how would we actually have more of an empowering impact on the planet for us to do the things that we wanted to do and to create the world that we wanted to create in. So we're not very empowered when we keep ourselves broke and scarce. So that's a little invitation to action, to put a little fire under our booties to see how we're actually creating the opposite of what we want by falling into these illusions and distortions. So I have an invitation for you right now, and maybe you've done this before, and I think we can always do it again and again because it's constantly changing and evolving. I want to invite you to write the word money down on a piece of paper or in your journal, or maybe you just think about it in your mind's eye and close your eyes for a moment. And I want you to notice the first several words, phrases, or feelings that come to mind when you hear the word money. And I would invite you to not try to control this process. The first thing that comes to mind, the first body sensation that you have, and some of these may be contracting you. Some of these may be expanding you. You might be thinking of some of these as negative or others as positive. Whatever it is, this exploration isn't about the rainbows and unicorns. It's not just about the parts of you that love money and feel good about it. This is, those parts of you don't need help with their scarcity consciousness. They're already on board with the abundance mentality. What we're looking for here are those parts of you that may need an upgrade, that may need to come into deeper relationship with the truth of what's floating around in your wealth consciousness. So maybe you feel inclined to call in and to share this with us. Let me find this. What's our call-in number, Nicole? Can we give that to listeners now?
Here I am, 646-595-4274. 646-595-4274.
Thank you, Nicole. Sorry to catch you off guard there. I couldn't find it on my end. So yeah, feel free to call in if you want to share what's coming up with you around the money consciousness, or email or type it in. Nicole, do we have any listeners or notes coming in already?
We have an email from Kathleen asking if you can pull a card for her.
Oh, okay. Kathleen, I love that question, and I will definitely save some time for a card at the end. I would invite you to stay with us around all of this and see what comes up for you. That way, when we pull the card, it can really help you clear and move any of these frequencies related to money that are coming up. So I wanted to spend a moment talking about some of the classic, oh, wait, I'm getting ahead of myself. So now that you've done your money exploration, and this is something you can do from time to time, because like I said, it always changes. I would take a moment and circle the ones that expand you, the perspectives and feelings that you have about money that expand you, that make you feel big and wide and open and excited and inspired. Circle those ones and then underline the ones that contract you, that make you feel small, bad, like closed, stuck, uninspired, disempowered. And then just notice the relationship between them. Now, maybe you've been working on this for a while, and so you can see some progress or some shift. Maybe there was more negative at one time, and now there's more positive. Or maybe you're just doing this for the first time, and you're noticing a lot of energies that contract you. This isn't about right or wrong. It's about assessing where you are, because once you know where you are, then you can shift and change and evolve and grow from there. The other cool thing is there's nothing to really do with this list. Just simply by acknowledging and discovering your truth about where you stand with this, it starts to like let go of you. You bring it to the light, you shine a light on it, and it starts to release and unwind. It's kind of like you hear a dog barking and you think it's like this really big, scary dog, but then when you peek around the corner, it's like this little tiny chihuahua and it's kind of cute. Yeah. You know, our money wounds can feel like these big, scary, insurmountable things that are dangerous, and that if we don't hurry up and get rid of them, we're just never going to be successful. But the truth is, they really just want to be seen. They want to be heard. They want to be acknowledged. So this is our starting place. And yes, there is some deeper work that can be done. We're not going to accomplish that right here, right now. But you can move forward and see what unlocks just through that awareness. So I want to see if you have ever thought any of these things. I want to share some classic healer money mentality with you. So there's no money in healing. Have you ever thought that? Or I didn't get into healing for the money. You know, listen to how that sounds, right? We're already shutting down abundance. Or how about this? People need me. I can't be too expensive. People need me. I can't be too expensive. Where we feel like we have to be available to everyone, which is actually another common thought. I have to make myself available to everyone. I have to make myself accessible to everyone. Healers never get rich. Or how about this last one? It's blank to charge for healing. So it's greedy to charge for healing. It's unethical. It's, you know, mean. It's disempowering. Finding any part of you that may have a judgment about charging for healing and being able to just shine a light on those things. Because here's something interesting. I don't know if you've ever heard of this study, but did you know that if you put flies in a jar and you put the lid on and you leave it on for a bit and then you take the lid off, the flies actually never go above where the lid was, even though the lid has been taken off and they could fly and escape. So this is how these belief systems work. If we believe there's not enough, if we believe that there's no money in healing or that it's greedy to charge, then this creates our ceiling on what we can receive. So even though there's not actually a ceiling there and we can expand beyond that and we can allow ourselves to receive more, we've kept ourselves stuck and in this jar because we've allowed these beliefs to become our reality. So today, as you're listening, we're starting to expand the possibility. What if it was actually kind to charge for healing? What if it was kind for you and kind for your clients? I'll share with you a story that one time I was hosting a retreat, and the retreat cost $2,000 to attend, and one of the potential attendees was really struggling with paying that amount of money. not because she didn't have it, but because she didn't think she was worthy of investing that much money in herself to have a healing experience. And so what she came to discover was that she very easily would spend that amount of money to allow her children to go to a summer camp that they enjoyed, or her husband to do a continuing education trip to learn more about his business. But she never invested that much in herself. And so when she made the decision to make that investment, it was this huge awakening for her about giving herself permission to receive. Now, if I wasn't charging for that retreat, or if I reduced the amount that she needed to pay for that retreat, I don't know that she would have had that same awareness or healing. And this is someone who then went on to attend many retreats for years to come, and she really overcame that story that she wasn't worthy of being invested. I'd love telling that story because I think it flips the script right on its head that it's not nice to our clients to charge them. I believe that when we charge, there's actually a frequency that gets unlocked in the code of that financial consciousness. And when the client makes that investment, the healing starts that moment. It's not just about the reading that you give them, or the energy work that you facilitate, or the healing that you support them with. It's really the moment they make that choice to say yes to their healing. Now, yes, healing can happen even if money isn't exchanged, but I want you to see that healing also happens when money is exchanged, and it doesn't have to be a part of the problem. It can actually be a part of the activation. And so the challenge with the way that most healers think about solving money issues is that we often believe that it's about working smarter and harder and faster and stronger and like focusing on all these external strategies and plans alone, maybe balancing our bank account or, you know, being good with money, whatever that means, like in an accounting sense. But this often leads to burnout, because the truth is that to actually transmute our scarcity consciousness and make more money, healers must first understand and address the underlying cause of these money wounds and heal them so that the change is built on a trustable foundation that actually works long term. And so that's what we're doing today, because to me, it's an ethical issue. Like, I can teach you how to market and I can teach you how to get clients in the door, but if your channel isn't open to receiving the money that they want to give you for the healing, then none of that really matters. So we have to recognize and loosen and eventually release any of the beliefs and ideas and stories of unworthiness, so that you open the channel for money and clients and opportunities and ideas to flow freely, instead of kinking that hose and restricting the flow. So I'm really excited to tell you more about how to do this. I want to introduce you to what I call my abundance upgrade process. And this is a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 step. I have some notes on this because there's a lot of moving parts and pieces. And I actually, on my website, walk you through a process like this for free. So if you're not already, if you've never gotten this free gift from me, you can go to theawakenedhealershow.com and you can download for free this abundance upgrade process. And every day for 6 days, you get an email walking you through these steps in really beautiful detail. So today we're going to get through as many of them as we can. And then I imagine there's going to be some more shows on this topic, because there's a lot to say about it. So the first step in upgrading the abundance is identifying and transmuting the money wound. And we've already started doing a lot of that just with the steps that we've taken to notice the relationship with money. But right now, I want you to finish this sentence. My current relationship with money is. My current relationship with money is. And if you thought of this like you thought of a relationship with another human, what would come up? My current relationship with money is connected, is sweet, Or is it like estranged, separated, divorced? Or if we use terms like on social media, if we have any millennials listening, like it's complicated, or, you know, what is the frequency of this relationship that you have with money? I know when I first started diving into my money work, I was really unconscious. I was burying my head in the sand around my relationship with money. And then I was wondering why it didn't show up for me. And I realized it was because I really wasn't showing up with it. So similar to your, you know, relationship with a partner or a child or a friend, if you're not ever answering the phone when they call, or you're not making time to spend together, what do you think the quality of that relationship is actually going to be? And oftentimes we want money to show up for us, but we are abandoning it. So there's a real liberation that can come when you honor what this current relationship with money is. So I invite you to just write that down. And then we're going to dive one step deeper into why you think you have the money issues that you have. So this is in particular around building your healing business or receiving money in exchange for healing. So complete this sentence. I don't have the money I desire because. And I'm actually going to give you a few choices here, because each of these choices actually correlates with what I call a prosperity archetype. And so you want to know what your prosperity archetype is, because that gives you a pathway to healing and to opening the abundance channel. So I don't have the money because I don't have the money I desire because, one, the economy is bad. Is that why you don't have the money that you want? Or is it two, I don't have the money I desire because there's a lot of competition or similar services and healers out there or in my community? And so there's like competition. Or is it, I don't have the money I desire because I don't know how to market myself or my services well. I just don't know how to get it out there. I don't know how to talk about what I do. I don't know how to describe it. I don't know if anybody wants it. And the last option is, I don't have the money I desire because I feel bad or guilty charging for healing. So which one resonates most with you? And as you jot that down, I'm actually going to share with you which ones fall into which prosperity archetype category. And I know this is like a lot today. This is a lot, but I was really sensing that we're ready for this deeper dive and conversation beyond the more superficial conversations that we tend to hear and have around this. So we're going to talk about the internal prosperity archetype and the external prosperity archetype. So if you said that the economy is bad, or that there is a lot of competition or similar services or healers in your community, and that's why you don't have the money that you desire, then this is the external prosperity archetype. And this means that you typically learned to feel safe by outsourcing or giving away your power and letting others handle things. So we start to find that our relationship to money actually goes way, way back. It's not just about right here and right now. It's about how did we feel safe being provided for? Or did we feel like we had to like just let others take care of us or figure things out for us, because we didn't necessarily trust ourselves to do that? Now, the light aspect of this prosperity archetype is that you have a gift of surrender. You know how to relax and surrender and let others like take care of you and figure things out for you. But the shadow of this is the wound of feeling powerless and victimized, like always wondering why life is coming at you, but you can't kind of get it together enough to feel empowered to have life work the way that you want it to work. And this could be really confusing, because in other areas of life, you might feel really confident and very empowered, but this is specific to your relationship with money. So I want to give you a healing mantra. If you're finding that you have an external prosperity archetype. The healing mantra that you can use to shift this energy is, I have a right to be abundantly powerful. I have a right to be abundantly powerful. And the healing from this archetype is really through reclaiming your power, owning your purpose, and taking accountability for claiming and welcoming abundance regardless of external circumstances. So if you think about it, you know, there are many healers that are successful even though the economy is bad or even though there are other healers who do the things that they do. So it's not like a hard fact that we can't be successful or abundant when the economy is struggling or when there's competition for our services. So how is it that some people can be successful in those circumstances, but I can't? Huh. And then this starts to open up that possibility. Well, what if I could be successful regardless of what's going on in the economy? What if I could be abundant regardless of how many other healers do what I do? Because I have a secret for you. Even though it might look like there are other people that do what you do, they'll never have the same soul signature that you do. And I actually would go a step further and to say that we have soul contracts with the people that are meant to receive certain transmissions of healing from us in particular. So it really wouldn't matter if you are in a community with 1,000 other people who do the energy work that you do or give the readings that you give or provide the healing services that you provide, because if there is a subsection of humans who have a soul agreement to receive that healing from you, then regardless of what other people are offering, there's like a magnetizing that happens as you open up to receiving these clients that are waiting for you, that they can find you and they can come to you. So we're going to switch to the internal prosperity archetype now. But before we do, let's take a breath, because this is a lot. Yeah, so just let that be absorbed and integrated. And Nicole, I'm curious if there's any other questions or interactions or callers as we are moving through today's material.
There's a little delay on my end with the switchboard. Bear with me. We do have a question from Linda in New York. She's asking about how to clear... I'm just reading through. Overwhelming feelings of lack due to the current shutdowns.
Beautiful. Yes. Thank you, Linda, for that question. Yeah, the pandemic has definitely offered us a very unique opportunity to engage with ourselves and our, you know, prosperity consciousness in a really new way. I'm actually going to make a note here to do a clearing before we wrap up today so that we can kind of move that energy for everyone, because my sense is that it's not just you that is experiencing that. So thank you for bringing that into the space for us. The first thing, Linda, is what you're doing. I'll just say that. It's acknowledging the feeling of overwhelm. And then the second thing is, you can also ask the part of you that's overwhelmed, what would they need to feel safer or more secure? Now, the trick here is that we often feel like what we need is something outside of us. So I would need a job, I would need a check, I would need this to change, I would need them to open things back up. But what I'm more interested in is, what does this part of us need from us? So maybe it's hearing, like, I'm here for you. You're not doing this alone. I've got you. We're going to figure this out together, right? So that's kind of the human way that we might handle that internally. A lot of the way that I look at the world, I'm a retired trauma therapist, and it can be very traumatizing to our system to be experiencing a time such as this on the planet. And it can remind us of earlier times that we were overwhelmed by life, when our needs weren't getting met, when we were scared that we weren't going to be provided for. And so having a relationship with those parts of us that are overwhelmed can be very empowering and very special. And it's something that no one can take away from us. So it's actually the most powerful position to be in, is to be able to relate with ourselves from that position of empowerment and compassion. And then from that place, we can often start becoming a match, an energetic match for more of what we want in the world. Because when we're overwhelmed, and maybe feel this for yourself, like when I'm overwhelmed, it's like everything in life feels intense and overwhelming. And it's kind of like more and more crisis and overwhelm comes at me. It's like the car won't start. And then I drop my, cup of tea in the morning and spill it, and I don't have time to clean it up. And it's just like one thing after another, after another. So when you can shift that vibration of overwhelm by creating some internal calm, now you become an energetic match for more calming things. You're available to receive ideas and like to think of going somewhere or meeting a certain person, and life starts to shift and change. So Linda, I hope that gives you a little taste. I feel like there's some real calming in that for you. Like I feel myself putting my hand on my heart and on my belly and like taking a breath and like, okay, I'm not doing this alone. I'm not doing this alone. It's like being our own mother, our own father, saying the things that we want to hear instead of waiting for the world to say them to us. Because I got some news for us here. It's going to take a while for the consciousness of the planet to continue purging all of these distortions and outdated power and control dynamics. And we can't wait for the world to change that, to feel less overwhelmed. We really have to go within and handle that for ourselves. So there's a little starting place, Linda, and we will, I'm going to cross my fingers here and do my best to pull a card for you, Kathleen, and to do a brief clearing before we wrap up today. So I do want to get to this internal prosperity archetype for those of you that answered that one. So this is the one, if you said you don't have the money you desire because you don't know how to market yourself or your services well, or you feel guilty or bad charging for healing. Okay, so this means that you typically learn to feel safe by internalizing blame and being in control. So you tend to take on a lot of responsibility. You might take on responsibility for things that aren't even yours, and you feel safe when you are like in control of the circumstances. So the light of this is the gift of accountability, the gift of being accountable, taking ownership, taking charge. And all those things can help us to feel really powerful. However, the shadow of this is the wound of self-judgment. We can take over accountability and start judging ourselves for things that really aren't even ours. And so there's a healing mantra that you can use with this, and it's, I have a right to create from a space of infinite worthiness. I have a right to create from a space of infinite worthiness. I invite you to say that out loud. Whether you have the internal or the external prosperity archetype, it can really be a freeing statement to claim. I have a right to create from a space of infinite worthiness. Maybe you write that down. Maybe that's something that you take a breath and say, and just add it to your daily rituals of how you relate to yourself. So the healing of this archetype really happens through reclaiming your worthiness and activating your creative energy center with expansive permission. So permission to take the actions that you are inclined to take. So maybe if you don't know how to market and you feel like that's why you don't have the money, then maybe you find someone to help you with that through this gift of accountability that you have. Or maybe if you feel bad or guilty about charging for your services, you have someone help you to honor and heal that guilt so that you are freed up to charge for the services. Beautiful. So our next step, we might only get through one more of these and we'll come back for the other three in another episode, maybe a cliffhanger today. But next, we're going to honor the fears and illuminate the shadows. So the first thing, hold on a second. The first thing that we did here was identify and transmute the money wound. And once we identify what that is, we want to honor what we're afraid of, and we want to bring anything in the darkness to light. So here's a few journal prompts that I love to use to do this. And I do these over and over and over again because there's always more abundance available for us. And that doesn't just mean money, but it means an abundance of help, of resources, of ideas, of support. But for the purposes of today, we are going to talk specifically about money, and we want to find what those fears are. So answer this one with me. If I make more money, I'm afraid that. If I make more money, I'm afraid that. Trying to remember, what are some of the ones that came up for me and that come up for my clients around this? If I make more money, I'm afraid that I'll be irresponsible with it. I'm afraid that I can't be trusted with it. I don't know what to do with it. I'm afraid other people will take it from me or that I won't be able to set boundaries around it. I'm afraid that I'll misuse it. I'm afraid that I won't be able to make it again and then I'll feel like a failure. So it almost sounds like a little ridiculous that we would be afraid of making more money, but it is one of the most common reasons why we don't let ourselves make it. So I'm curious what's coming up for you around that one. And the next one is, if I have all the money I desire, I think that means. What does it mean about you if you have all the money you desire? Does it mean that you're a bad person? Does it mean that you don't care about the people that you serve? And so, yes, you might also think some positive things about this. If I have all the money I desire, I think that means I'll feel safe. I'll feel well taken care of. Those are awesome, and we can honor and acknowledge those too. But right now, in terms of healing these blocks, we really want to focus on the things that feel more contracting or negative to us. All right, so two more ways to honor these fears and illuminate the shadows. If I make a prosperous living serving others, I'm afraid that people may think I am. And then I want you to label and name all the judgments that you fear you could receive for being a wealthy healer. And whatever that means for you, wealthy for you could be, you know, $40,000, it could be $100,000, it could be, you know, $500,000, $1,000,000. It doesn't matter. We're looking for what it means to you to be an abundant healer. So what are you afraid people are going to call you if they knew that you were abundant? I remember the first time that I disclosed that I made multiple six figures as a healer, working only 2 to 3 days a week. And I was terrified that people would think that I was lazy or that, you know, I was only doing it for the money. And what I found was people were actually more interested in how they could do it. And they were excited that showed them something that was possible that they didn't know was possible. And so it's interesting how we think we're going to be judged or feared, but yet we could also be an inspiration to other people. And now we want to get specific with particular amounts of money. Making blank amount of money is reasonable, but if I want to make this, then part of me believes I'm greedy or unreasonable. So allow yourself to find your threshold. Maybe it's an amount that you've already made, so making this amount is reasonable. But if I want to make this other amount, then parts of me think I'm greedy or unreasonable. So I would fill in those blanks there. And just notice where you're putting ceilings and like limitations on what you allow yourself to have. Oh, and I forgot about this one. This is one of my favorite exercises. So, do you have a money date? How often do you go on a date with your money? So when I first started cleaning up my money wounds, for 2 years straight, I had a date with my money every single, and sometimes that was just 30 seconds of how do I feel in my relationship with money today, and I would jot down a few words. But other times I would light a candle and I would really make space, 15, 30 minutes, an hour, and go into meditation and really deepen into my relationship with money to find out what was happening. And it wasn't until about a year or two into this relational experience with money that I really began to understand it enough to where I could get away with not checking in with money every day and still hold the frequency of more money and expanding the abundance each day. So I'm going to give you a few journal prompts that you can play with to get into sacred union with your money. Money, I'm grateful to you for. Like, imagine what would happen if you sat with your partner and you were like, honey, I'm so grateful to you today for, right? But how, when's the last time you told money that you were grateful for it? And could you get specific about exactly how you're grateful for it? So don't just stop at I'm grateful for you. It's like name one, two, three things. And it's like if you can name one, you can probably name two. And if you can name two, you can probably name three. And next thing you know, you're in this vibration of gratitude and the energy is opening and there's just more possible now because you're not contracted or closed. You're opening to receive. The other one is money I'm angry with you for. You know, when's the last time you told money that you were really pissed off that it didn't show up for you to pay this bill that you wanted, or it didn't show up for you to take this trip or to buy someone this gift? Whatever it is, it's like you can get yourself free from these like binds in your relationship with money by just being honest. This is what I'm angry with you for. And how about fear? Money, I'm scared that you... I know for me, one of them was money. I'm scared that you're going to leave me. I'm scared that you're going to come and then you're going to go and I'm not going to have any more of you. And I'm scared that I'm going to work really hard and like you're not going to show up. And I can tell you the amount of grief that started releasing, it really like animates the relationship in a way that starts to help us to really understand. And a lot of times our relationship with money is very much like our relationship to our caregivers, our relationship to our partners, because money is our provider, right? So who were our original providers and how connected to them did we feel and how safe did we feel and how freely expressed were we? So this starts to get into that sacred relating with money here. If you start to find these parallels. And two more, money, I'm sad that you... So money, I'm sad that you, yeah, that you left me. I'm sad that I feel so far away from you. I'm sad that I don't know how to get closer to you. And lastly, money, what I'd like from you is. So just like you might say to your husband, wife, partner, friend, this is what I'd like from you. This would make me really happy. And so if you can get specific with money about how you want it to support you, there can be a real opening here. Beautiful. All right. I'm very curious about what everybody found with this. Feel free to call in 646-595-4274 and let us know any of your reflections. And in the meantime, we have a few more moments. I am going to pull a card for you, Kathleen, at your request. I'm actually going to use my messages from Shadow Oracle deck and healing system. We're going to see, Kathleen, what is your shadow that is standing in the way of you and the abundance that you are desiring? And the card that's showing up for you today in relation to that is victim mentality. Victim mentality. This is a common one when we're playing with money. You're definitely not alone in this one. This is where we give our power away. We feel powerless. We haven't owned the potency of our creative nature that is co-creating our reality with the universe. My sense for you, Kathleen, is actually that you've done a lot of work around this. This just feels sort of like a crumb. It's like you may almost be surprised to hear this in a way, or maybe it's kind of been lighting up for you lately and you haven't been able to put your finger on it exactly. But the victim of energy, or the energy of victim mentality, is a time to get curious about where you're buying into the illusion that you are powerless. Are you willing to see where you're abandoning your power in the situation that you're inquiring about? The guides use this card to gently remind you that everything in your reality is energy that you called forth to support your awakening. You are being supported in taking full responsibility for yourself right now, including all of your choices and circumstances. Be mindful of compassionately transitioning back to your power rather than harshly blaming yourself or others. And the healing mantra that I'd like to offer you for a transmission of healing is, I am worthy of waking up to my fullest power and the purpose of every experience that I call in to support my expansion. I have a feeling that wasn't just for you. Thank you for the invitation to pull a messages from shadow card for you. Anyone who wants to do a reading, we can certainly do them on future episodes. I also have them available for download on iTunes and Android. You can go to those your app stores and look up messages from shadow. And we're getting close to closing here, so I would love to honor that clearing that I said I would do for you, Linda, and for anyone else who's ever felt or is feeling overwhelmed by life and by the things that are coming at you, or the feeling of being powerless to influence or impact your reality with everything that is so intensely unfolding on the planet right now. So I invite you, if you're in a place, to close your eyes and just be able to take a breath here. And just begin to feel what's happening in your body as we've navigated these different wounds and discussions today. I invite you to feel where any overwhelm may be living in your body. Finding it physically is a very powerful way to have it be not quite as ominous, but be made real, tangible. And just letting it know when you find it. Maybe it's a sensation or a tightness, a tension. Maybe it's a tingling or like a fullness or a pain. Just bringing your breath to that part of your body and letting it know that you see it, that you feel it, and that you're right here with it as it expresses itself. And anywhere in any time, space, dimension, or reality where it didn't feel safe to be fully in your power, we're just collecting those experiences and amplifying them in your energy field now, preparing them for transmutation fully, completely, easily, alchemizing them now, deleting them and uncreating them from every timeline, past, present, and future. Any beliefs or ideas that you may have inherited from your lineage that say that you're not powerful enough to handle your life, that you can't be trusted with difficult decisions or navigating intense and hard times. We're just unsubscribing from any ideas, beliefs, behaviors, or patterns that would have you giving up your sovereignty and the truth of your infinitely intelligent and powerful beingness. Now I invite you to imagine a sparkling golden light just gently washing down over your entire physical body from head to toe, just finding its way into every nook and cranny that just cleared and transmuted and alchemized energy. Now we're activating every cell that may have lied dormant, that holds the infinite intelligence of who you are and the operating system that is ready to come online and to activate as you take these next steps in your journey forward, tuning in to your channel of abundance and your channel of creativity and service. And so for now, we honor the parts of us that we saw and we heard and we helped to heal today. And we recommit to connecting with the parts of us that are still waiting for healing, trusting that in the days and weeks and months to come, we will continue allowing ourselves to be more and more of who we came here to be, freely, fully, and completely. And so for now, we extinguish this flame that's been burning throughout our time together today as a physical representation of the light within each of us that is illuminating our way forward. We extinguish this flame, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community and connection, and the fires of creativity, passion, and desire. These we carry in our hearts until we are together again. Thank you all so much for spending this time together with us today. Looking forward to being back together next month, the first Tuesday, 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I hope that you integrate easily and gently and go forth and welcome that abundance.
Beautiful. We made it past the top of the hour without it cutting us off. We're in record mode, but I'm looking forward to next time. Carrie Noel is all linked up. In the meantime, newsforthesoul.com. Thank you, Carrie, for being here and doing what you do. Much love to you, and we'll talk to you next time.
Thank you. Talk soon.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.